The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, Colleen Gray shares information to help prepare you if your beloved pet receives a terminal illness diagnosis. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As pet parents, we love and care for our pets so much. And there is nothing we wouldn't do for them to have them stay with us forever. We try our best to feed them the healthiest foods and treats and provide them with veterinary care, including their annual checkups, dentals, and timely medical care. We never want or expect to receive a diagnosis that our pet has a terminal illness. It's something that many pet parents, including myself, are not prepared for. Hopefully, your pet will never receive a diagnosis of a terminal illness. But to help prepare us and share her experience with us is Colleen Gray, a pet parent who did receive a terminal diagnosis of DM for her beloved Corgi Scooter. And that diagnosis changed Colleen's and Scooter's life forever, which has ultimately become Scooter's legacy. Colleen is with us today to share valuable and timely advice for pet parents whose beloved pets receives a diagnosis of a terminal disease. Colleen, thank you so much for being with us and to share your personal knowledge and experience with our listeners, some of whom have or may one day receive a terminal illness diagnosis for their pets. And as I mentioned, you have taken your knowledge and become an advocate for DM, and you now help to educate and often comfort pet parents receiving this diagnosis, empowering them to cope and manage as they navigate through the terminal illness with their beloved pets. I want to welcome you back, and I want to ask if you could just share with us a little bit about Scooter, about DM, and share your journey through this diagnosis with Scooter. If you could just share that with us, I appreciate it. And I think the listeners would too, because it's a diagnosis we don't always want to receive. Yours was DM. Some other pet parents receive other medical diagnoses for their pets. But the way you navigated through this, where you were and how you came out, are two so totally different things. And because of what you did, many pet parents you have helped have been enlightened, and it helps the journey. So if you could just share your journey with us, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I just love talking about Scooter's legacy. So Scooter was a very vibrant 9-year-old Corgi, Pembroke Welsh Corgi, full of life, full of attitude. And he was diagnosed with a disease called degenerative myelopathy. It's very similar to human ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And I had had corgis for decades. I had had corgis for 30 years before this, and I had no idea what DM was. And apparently it's very prevalent in corgis as well as about 100 other breeds. And, you know, I considered myself somebody who was, you know, pretty experienced around dogs and, you know, all different breeds, and especially the corgis. And I just had no idea about this disease. So it was a real journey for us. And it was, you know, a lot of learning along the way. And I had a wonderful patient along the way. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to go through, but I must, you know, preface all of this by saying that some of our most precious moments with Scooter were during our DM journey. And it was really, really hard. It was for about 18 months, about a year and a half from the time he was diagnosed to the time we lost him. But it was a journey. I met some wonderful people along the way who really helped me, you know, from veterinarians and rehab doctors and then just people who had been down this path before that were just a real inspiration. So yeah, it's I'm still involved in the DM community. We lost Scooter in 2022. So it's been about 3.5 years, and but I'm still very involved in the Facebook groups and the support groups and, you know, any way I can to help others and, you know, to see if I can help out with their journey, make it a little bit easier.
And you have, you know, the number of lives that you've touched and what you do is an inspiration. I know that you don't see it, but I know that a lot of other people see it. And it's something that you and Scooter did. And I know the diagnosis that, and as many times as you receive it, you're never prepared for it, mm-hmm. was cancer. Could you just kind of walk us through things that, as a pet parent, we may need to like have with us and in us if our pet is diagnosed with a terminal illness?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I'd be happy to. And this was the notes I'm going to share with you. It was through research and personal experience. And I hope that it's helpful. So when you do, if you do, hopefully you don't, but if you do receive a diagnosis like that, you know, some terminal illness where your pet just isn't going to recover, you know, first take time to process the news, allow shock, allow sadness, anger, numbness. You know, you don't have to make every decision the same day. So there's all kinds of emotions that you're going to be feeling right off the bat. But just, you know, try and take a breath, you know, and allow yourself the grace of feeling, you know, all these feelings, and just try to be kind to yourself. Also, ask your vet for clarity. It's a lot when you receive these diagnoses, but, you know, ask for the exact diagnosis and stage, the expected course, the likely symptoms, and what good days versus bad days will look like. Also discuss all the treatment paths. So curative options, if there are any, palliative care only, hospice style support, and how each affects quality of life, time, and cost. Also get information in writing, because it is kind of a flood of information, a flood of emotions, you know, probably something that you haven't experienced before. So it's always good to ask for discharge notes, handouts, or an email summary so you can review details later and share with family, because you just can't remember all the information that's coming at you. Also, consider a second opinion or a specialist, like an oncologist with the cancer diagnosis, or in our case, we went to a neurologist and Scooter had an MRI, just to, if you're unsure about the diagnosis or options, if it feels emotionally or financially feasible. Sometimes when you go down those roads, it can be very expensive and very heart-wrenching. So just, you know, again, kind of take a breath and, you know, think about all of your options, but, you know, maybe consider that second opinion if you can't. Then I would define quality of life for your pet. So what behaviors mean they're still themselves? So are they eating great? Are they interacting well? Are they enjoying their favorite activities or resting comfortably? That's really, really important to decide what defines the quality of life. You know, with Scooter, he loved his, you know, he did, his disease progressed to where he was in a cart, he was in a wheelchair, and he loved more than anything to take his rally obedience classes. So our wonderful instructors, we had been taking lessons for years, we just did it for fun, and our wonderful instructors allowed us to take his beloved rally classes in his cart, and it was wonderful. It was just fantastic. So, you know, those types of things and being able to continue to do those things, even though it's a little bit different, they're really important. Also use a simple quality of life scale to track pain, appetite, mobility, breathing, and joy. And let trends guide your decisions rather than single bad days. Your pet's always going to have, you know, one-off bad days here and there. But, you know, if they're generally doing well and their trajectory is stable, you know, those are the types of things that you want to pay attention to more than, you know, than the one day. As long as it's not a crisis or an emergency, they will have, you know, blips in their, in the way they feel from day to day sometimes. And then also prioritize comfort measures. So pain control, anti-nausea meds, mobility aids like Scooter with his cart, soft bedding, easy access to food and water, and also help with stairs and litter boxes for your kitties. And then finally, create a practical care plan. So you can have a medication schedule, follow-up appointments, diet changes, and clear signs that mean you should call the vet urgently. So kind of understand what would indicate a crisis. That's really important to be aware of and to just make note of so that if those moments happen, you're ready. So after that, adjust home routines, you know, maybe do shorter walks, gentler play, temperature comfort, quiet resting spaces away from stress. With DM, temperature modulation is a challenge. So it was important to be able to help Scooter stay comfortable temperature-wise. And I'm sure that there are other conditions that that's the case as well. And also involve your family. So align on what no suffering means. You know, who will handle the daily care and how decisions will be made if your pet declines quickly. It's always good to have those conversations up front as you can. You know, it's a challenging journey. You don't want to do it all on day one, but, you know, as you're getting your footing and your traction, definitely have those conversations with family and just decide kind of those different components of, you know, what no suffering means and all that. And then also, you want to focus on quality of life. This is really, really, really important. This is, I think, really the most important thing, is make a bucket list appropriate to your pet's energy. So your favorite parks, car rides, sunbathing spots, special foods as medically allowed, and extra cuddle time. As I had mentioned to you, some of our most precious times were with Scooter while we were on our DM journey with him. We had a lot of fun. We knew our time was shorter than we had hoped, but we sure made the most of it. Also, capture memories intentionally. Take a lot of photos, videos, paw prints, fur clippings, or written stories about your favorite moments together. I have so many pictures and so many videos, you know, from when Scooter was well, and then a lot of them while we were on our journey, and they're just really wonderful to have. And then also stay present focused. You know, it's hard to get ahead of yourself and, you know, think about things down the road, but just do your best to try and stay in the present. Notice the small good moments each day instead of constantly projecting ahead to the loss. It's really hard to do, but it's definitely worth the effort. And then finally, contemplate your plans early. So ask your vet what specific signs would indicate that life is more suffering than comfort with your pet. So what does that look like? Decide your thresholds in advance. So if the dog can't eat, or if they have persistent pain despite medications, severe breathing trouble, you know, what are going to be your real strong indicators that quality of life is declining? And that will help to reduce guilt and panic in a crisis. And then also explore options for euthanasia, you know, at the clinic versus at home, who should be present, anything special that you'd want to have with you, like a favorite blanket, music, treats, you know, anything that you'd want to have with you. And finally, understand that choosing euthanasia when suffering can't be relieved is considered a final act of kindness, not a failure. It's really hard to see at the time. It's excruciating to see at the time, but it becomes more clear as time goes by that it is truly a gift and a final act of kindness to let your pet go if they're truly suffering.
Well, thank you. I know that's very difficult to share. So I'm thinking right now, why don't we take a quick break? And when we return, Colleen will share more of her and Scooter's journey.
The Doggy Diva Diaries is proud to announce the Paw It Forward initiative in loving memory of Miss Olive. Each month, a portion of the proceeds from Miss Olive's trilogy of award-winning books will be donated to a selected animal welfare organization. The designated charity will be revealed at the end of each Doggy Diva Show episode. Miss Olive's legacy of kindness and love lives on in her books, which are about a lonely little rescue dog who spreads the message that it's not what you look like on the outside that matters. It's the love in your heart that counts. Her books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. Help Miss Olive paw it forward and visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Colleen Gray on preparing for a terminal diagnosis for your pet based on her personal journey with her beloved Corgi Scooter. Colleen, what's like the importance of taking care of ourselves, those that we love, you know, as we go through this process?
It is very important, and it's kind of hard. It's kind of easy to lose yourself in this and remember that you do need to take care of yourself and your loved ones, because it can be very consuming. So, you know, one thing to think of is to normalize the anticipatory grief. So recognize that, you know, grieving before the loss, so showing emotion, feeling anxiety, having trouble focusing, is common and not a sign that you're overreacting. Also, build a support network, friends and family who understand, pet loss support groups, or counseling if you're feeling overwhelmed. It's really important to have people to lean on. I know my wonderful sister, Sue, has always been an amazing source of strength for me. And, you know, she really understands and has always been just a wonderful support, you know, all the time, but especially during these really trying times that, you know, they're really, really heartbreaking. But a note about joining some online support groups. So choose groups that are moderated and have clear rules on kindness and privacy. There's all kinds of groups out there, but just make sure that that any of the groups that you join are moderated. So one excellent group to seek out should you be in this situation is an online group called the Association for Pet Loss and Bereavement. It's the APLB, and that's a wonderful group to become a part of. Also, I found a lot of resources and support on Facebook, and I'm actually still involved in these groups to this day. I feel good that I'm able to share some tips and some ideas and some strategies to others who are going through the journey of degenerative myelopathy. So one of the groups that you could think about joining is called the Grief and Support for Loss of a Beloved Pet. And that's a Facebook group for people both fearing a loss and grieving after a loss. So they emphasize respectful, open sharing. And then for disease-specific conditions like cancer or degenerative myelopathy and a host of other conditions, you know, just search the keywords. So you could do, you know, cancer support group for a dog or cat, or degenerative myelopathy support group for a dog or cat. And then check groups linked by organizations such as the National Canine Cancer Foundation and similar foundations, because, you know, those are very strong, well-funded, well-researched groups. For in my case, the Facebook groups that were so helpful to me, and I still participated in some Facebook groups, Corgis on Wheels, which is just a wonderful group, so, so helpful, and it's breed specific to Corgis. It's because I had mentioned a lot of Corgis do have, they're afflicted by degenerative myelopathy, which is a genetic disease, and also Corgis on Wheels also helps pet parents whose Corgis are going through other back issues, like there's another genetic disease called IVDD, intervertebral disc disease, which is another disease that afflicts Corgis pretty disproportionately. So it's not just DM, but But it's for basically disabled corgis, corgis on wheels. It's wonderful. Also, another group that I am still a part of is canine degenerative myelopathy. So these are all breeds. Degenerative myelopathy, as I had mentioned, affects, it's in about 100 breeds. German Shepherds are the most affected. Corgis, I believe, are in the top 10 breeds most affected, but some very interesting Bernese Mountain Dogs, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, Boxers, you know, but it's across the board, even mixed breeds. And you'll find, you know, pet parents with all of those breeds of dogs in the canine degenerative myelopathy group. And then I'm also a member of a group called Shade Out TM, and they have become just a really important organization to me, and they raise awareness about degenerative myelopathy. So like I had mentioned to you earlier, I've had corgis for over 30 years. I had two German Shepherds before that. I knew nothing about degenerative myelopathy. A lot of veterinarians aren't as familiar with it as you might think. Some of them are. I was very fortunate. My veterinarian was quite up on the research. But because there's no cure and, you know, there's still a lot of research to be done, it's interesting to see that veterinary professionals sometimes don't have all the resources. So Shade Out TM is a group that, you know, they go to some of the veterinary conferences and they talk to veterinarians about degenerative myelopathy. They also have a group on Facebook, and then a group where we raise funds and raise awareness actually across the world. It's really a beautiful thing. But Shade Out DM, they've been a very, very important group in my life. So there are others, I'm sure, similar for pets that have different conditions. Also, this is really important. You know, take care of your own basics. So your sleep, your regular meals, you know, take short breaks outside and take time away from caretaking. You know, you don't want to get too burned out. So, you know, maybe take a day away, or you know, just make sure to take really good care of yourself. And then also include your children thoughtfully. So explain in age-appropriate language. Be honest about the illness and the possible death, and invite them to say goodbye in their own way, because, you know, the kids do need to process it. And certainly, you know, they love the pets as well. And then after the loss, you know, there's really no right way to grieve. So after the loss, allow yourself to grieve fully. There is no correct timeline. There are going to be waves of sadness that can return unexpectedly, and it's okay. You know, there's just, we all grieve in different ways, and it's just important to, you know, to give yourself the space and, you know, do what you can to just allow yourself to experience it fully and just be okay with grieving on your own timeline. Also consider memorials that feel meaningful to you. So small ceremony, a keepsake box, framed photos, a donation or volunteer work in your pet's honor. For Scooter, each year I have raised money and walked in his honor with the annual Shade Out DM fundraiser, and my wonderful sister has consistently donated to our team. Thank you.
Very proudly. Yeah,
and it's wonderful, you know, and I have a lot of people, I post pictures of Scooter, and then I post pictures of, you know, I brought Cisco one year, I brought Callie before. It's Shade Out DM, so we put little sunglasses on them. You know, we have a lot of fun doing it, and it's nice because it will, you know, spark dialogue. People will ask me, oh, that's, you know, that looked like a really neat event. What was that all about? And then I'm able to share with them. And you never know, it might be helpful for them or a friend. So anyway, that's a really special thing, is to walk in his honor. Also, have given donations to the San Diego Humane Society in his name. I live in San Diego, and I've done some memorial donations, as well as my sister's done memorial donations. Thank you. And then, of course, tons and tons and tons of photos. So we have photos all over the house. We have photos, you know, on our social media. And he is, of course, forever, ever, ever in our hearts. He's always with us. I carry his little, I had a little license plate for his cart, and I bring it. It says Scooter. And I carry it with me when we go to the park, you know, when I bring my dogs with me to the park. So, you know, those types of things just keep it really special. And then finally, seek extra help if your feelings significantly impact your work or your sleep or your relationships for a prolonged period. You know, professional counseling, grief support groups. I know San Diego Humane Society offers a dedicated pet loss support group. And I'm sure, you know, humane societies across the country probably do something similar. But it's, you know, seek out resources, seek out people and groups that can support you and help you through this time, because people want to help. You know, they want to be supportive. They want to be kind, because many of them have been through it as well. And it's, you know, it feels good to help others and, you know, take advantage of that. When people offer their help, be sure to take them up on it. So that's
very good advice. That's wonderful advice and very knowledgeable advice. So I want to thank you again for sharing your journey with Scooter. We love some of my happiest memories of him. I remember him running on the beach, running. But my happiest memories of his with his little wheelchair with the back license plate that said Scooter, and he's running along in the parks. And he lived a very full life right up until he couldn't, but he was so vibrant. And that's you. You believed in him and you believed in an alternative process to empower him, which empowered you, and you're sharing that with others. So hopefully it empowers them. So again, I want to thank you for sharing your journey with Scooter and such valuable and probably for some pet parents, timely information. And again, we hope that pet parents never receive the diagnosis of a terminal illness for their beloved pets. And hopefully what Colleen has shared with you today can help to prepare you and empower you and know as you begin your journey that you really are never alone. You're not alone. And I hope that if you are going through this, that you will look into some of the organizations that Colleen shared with us. Colleen, can you just you talked about the online, the Facebook groups and social media, and again, the part about the Humane Society, just so that the people, if they didn't take notes, maybe they'll want to if they're going through this or anticipating going through this.
Yeah, absolutely. I know San Diego Humane Society, it's a larger Humane Society, but I do know there's another smaller private Humane Society here in San Diego. They have a dedicated pet loss support group. So maybe seek out the larger organizations, but also maybe some of the smaller organizations. You might be surprised at the groups, and you know, they're often mediated by professionals. And I know the San Diego Humane Society is mediated by a professional, and you know, it's like group meetings and all that, and it's just really, really beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And in honor of Miss Olive, we have our Pot Forward Award, which we announce each month. And we are so proud to announce that the recipient for this month is an amazing organization dedicated to raising awareness about DM, known as the canine version of ALS, as well as offering support to pet parents and caregivers of these beloved pups. And this is an organization, as we just talked about, that is so near and dear to your heart and mine. Could you just tell us a little bit more about them? And if the listeners want to find out more about them, where do they go? What could they do? Is there any way that they could help?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much. That's so kind and generous of you. We really appreciate it. And the pet parents and the pets appreciate it too. Thank you. It can't be done without donations. And the people who run Shade Out DM, they just have hearts bigger than themselves. They're just wonderful, wonderful people. But yeah, if you go to Shade Out DM, shadeoutdm.com, shadeoutdm.com. Their entire mission is shared there, but essentially their goal is to raise awareness so that when you are making choices for, you know, maybe bringing different breeds into your family, that you can ask the right questions to breeders to just make sure that the dog is has been genetically tested for DM. Ethical breeders they do test for DM. The test has been around, I believe, since 2009 or 2010. And Scooter was born in 2011, so it was really not that easy and widespread at that time. But right now, it's really inexpensive, and it's very easy. It's just a little cheek swab that they swab the parents, the dog's parents, cheeks. And if they're affected, those dogs should not be bred. So, you know, and the other thing is that if you adopt a dog from, you know, from a shelter or from a rescue, you know, you having a dog that's affected by DM doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to develop the symptoms, which is kind of great. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that they're going to end up in a cart, but it's good to be aware if they are affected by DM. So if, as they get older, you know, they start developing some symptoms that you know what to do. And, you know, you could do the work with maybe getting them started in a cart early rather than going down the path of, you know, 20 different directions if your dog is, you know, having a little bit of issue with their hind end. So it's just really good to be aware of what the breeds are that are most affected, you know, how to do the genetic testing, what to ask for if you are going to get your dog from a breeder. And then also they have this wonderful program called KC's Cruisers, and it's loaner cart program. So they loan carts for free to people who are in need. And it's all breeds. It's not just corgis. So they have, you know, the little ones up to the big ones. And, you know, these carts can be between, you know, $400 and $1,000. So some people can't afford to buy the carts. So the group at Shade Out DM, they have kind of a group underneath them. And it's actually the same gal who fulfills the cart request, but it's called KC's Cruisers. And she does a wonderful job with the loaner carts. So yes, they do a fantastic job. And check out their website. It's very informational and it's just very inspirational. So thank you so, so much.
Oh, no. And I met the founder through you. Thank you. So she works tirelessly for this and is so inspirational. And can you just give the website out one more time?
Sure. It's shadeoutdm.com. Shadeoutdm.com.
Thank you for sharing all this information. Thank you for sharing your journey with you and Scooter. Again, I hope that this has helped pet parents out there who may or hopefully may never go through this, but thank you. We'll be back in just a moment.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.